Bibles and open to Hebrews chapter number 3, and I'm going to ask you to hold two different places in your Bible. I want you to get in the habit of connecting New Testament scriptures with the Old Testament, okay? And so often it is that we read things in the New Testament and we don't make a connection back into the Old Testament, and I want you to get used to that. And so a lot of times what you'll discover is this, that the folks in the New Testament are really quoting verses from the Old Testament. And so do you well to go back into the Old Testament and look to find where those verses are quoted from. It'll give you some context and give you some help as you study your Bible. And so the one place you're going to be is Hebrews chapter 3. The other place in your Bible, if you want to hold your finger there and open it up to Psalm 95 as well, we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 3 first. So however you want to mark that in your Bible will be fine. And I'll give you a few moments to do that. In Hebrews chapter number 3, once I stop here, really a lot of pages turning, we're going to read beginning in verses number 7 through 9. I'm not rushing you, by the way. Hebrews chapter 3, I just want you to see this with your own eyes. So begin in verse number 7, and I want you to pay attention to these few verses, and then we're going to skip down a little bit. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years." Now skip down to verse number 13. Verse number 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called," notice there, "today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now look in verse number 15, if you will. "While it is said," here's that word again, "today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." I'd like for you to make note of that expression, "today, if you will hear his voice." Today, if you'll hear his voice. And once you mark that expression, turn over to Psalm 95. I'll give you a moment to get there. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1 says this, "O come," you'll notice this, "let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Notice it again. "Let us," verse 2, "come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come," notice again, "let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." But notice here, this looks familiar. "Today, if you will hear his voice." Verse number 8, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." I want you to consider this phrase, and it's really the title of this message, "Today, if you will hear." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we be a people that hear. Father, help us not to just have a sound entering into our ears, but really, when we say, "hear you," Lord, really, we're taking in what you're saying, and Lord, it's changing us, it's affecting us. Father, I pray we would see this exhortation on this eve of a new year, that we wouldn't wait till tomorrow, but we would act today. Father, help us to understand this simple truth. And Lord, we do continue to pray for all those that are dealing with sickness on the tail end of it. And Father, we pray, Lord, you would quickly restore their health. So many fighting with sickness. And Lord, we think about several folks who've had loved ones step into eternity. We pray for your comforting hand to be upon them and in their lives. Help them to sort out all the things that they need to. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. I'd like for you tonight, consider really a simple truth, and it's from the penman here, is citing in the book of Hebrews from, as you saw here, in Psalm chapter number 95. Now, the psalmist cited his example from the history of the children of Israel as they wandered after leaving Egypt as an example of God's people. And I want you to consider what we found, that phrase, today, if you'll hear his voice. We saw in verse 7 in chapter 95 of the Psalms, where it's quoted there. We saw it also in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter number 3, and then repeated again in verse number 15. Could I remind you tonight, church family, when you find things repeated in the Word of God, it is because God is emphasizing something to us. We ought to pay careful attention when God repeats something over and over again. Could I give you just 4 points tonight to consider as we think about going into the new year? The first is simply this, the timing of this call. Obviously, this is a call. It says today, if you'll hear my voice. Today, if you'll hear my voice. We have the timing of the call. What is the timing of the call found in this passage? The timing of this call is marked by this phrase, today. And it's unusual because in our modern English, we have today smashed together. But here in the Bible, it's the words to and the word day, and they're separated by a little bit of space. Multiple times it's repeated in Hebrews chapter 3, and it stresses simply this, the urgency of this call. At New Year's, typically, we begin to look in 2 different directions. And you say, Pastor James, what directions are those? I think Brother Greg mentioned it at Sunday school, Bible study groups on this past Sunday. He mentioned this fact that we look backwards. We begin to look backwards, and we're looking at all that's taken place over this year. And can I tell you, even as I sat down with the Edwards family and was speaking with them, they were asking exactly how we ended up here, and they were interested in the story. And my wife and I are just overjoyed at how God brought everything together. And it's been over a years-long journey for us as we've been seeking the Lord's face for His direction and for His will for our lives, and just miraculously how God brought everything together in our lives. And so we look backward and we realize all that's taking place. I realize that much has taken place here at Liberty Baptist Church over the past year, and you've had many victories and accomplishments, and you ought to look back and rejoice in all of those things. We rejoice in what the Lord has done. And I pray it is that we give all glory and honor to Him, that we don't start lifting up ourselves and saying, see what I've done, but we say, look what the Lord has done, and we rejoice in Him. We also do this. We evaluate simply what needs to be improved. And that's good and right for us to do that. We look back and see perhaps some of the areas that we need improvement in, maybe some areas that we fell short before the Lord, perhaps some areas where we need to increase in faith. And we do some evaluation and some introspection with the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. We contemplate all that's gone on in our lives and in the lives of the families around us, and certainly in the life of our church family. And that's right, and we should do that. We not only look backwards, but then you've probably guessed it already, we also look forward. We're looking forward. We're on the precipice of a brand new year. And if the Lord tarries, guess what? We'll move into a new year with new days and new opportunities, even as we saw on Sunday, determining the day, new opportunities before us. It's a time when we look forward, and I pray this way, that you're planning and preparing for what the Lord would have you to do. And if you don't have any idea of what that is, I can give you some ideas, but I don't know all of it. I can tell you some of the general things that God would have us to do in the new year, but you really need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want us to understand, though, that the timing of this call is different. This phrase is different. It's not a call to look backwards, although the history of the nation of Israel is cited in this text. There's no doubt about that. It's not a call even to look forward as well, although the writer of the book of Hebrews was designing for this, that these Jewish Christians would walk triumphantly in Christ. This word that's mentioned here, to and day, is really speaking about this present moment. And I'm so glad that you're here. I hope you understand. I'm glad that you're here at Liberty Baptist Church among God's people, because there's a call here for you right now. In fact, it's being given from the Word of God today, if you'll hear His voice. As we think about this phrase, we should understand the timing of this call is now. The Word of God is not talking about what's going to take place tomorrow. The Word of God's not talking about what's going to take place the next day, or even a week from now, or a month from now. But in simplicity and truth, we find an active call from God Himself today, if you will hear His voice. Sometimes the devil's greatest word in the life of a believer is, guess what? Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to put it off till tomorrow. We designed to do this or do that tomorrow, but God is presently calling us right now, today. We understand from the Scriptures and also our own lives' experiences that tomorrow is always in the future and it's not guaranteed. I think about meeting with a dear family and was telling them that in God's hands is life and death. In God's hands is life and death. When we step into eternity is when the Lord calls us home. And that's in God's hands. And listen, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We have the capacity and the ability to contemplate the future, no doubt. God has given that to us. And we have the ability to prepare for tomorrow. And I believe that's right and good, and we ought to do that. But God's call upon your life, Christian, is not for tomorrow, it's for today. It is for this very moment, this right now moment. And the question I have for you is this: who will hear the Lord tomorrow if He's not willing to hear Him today? Who will be obedient to Christ tomorrow if He doesn't make the decision today to be obedient to the Lord? Who will read the Bible tomorrow if he does not decide to read it today? Promises and plans for tomorrow are wonderful, but brothers and sisters, can I say to you very plainly, we must begin at once. We must begin with today. And so we see the timing of this call, but notice this. Secondly, the testing. That's your second blank. The testing of this call. You'll notice the phrase, he says, today. And what's that next word, church family? Let's try it again. One, two, three. Say it all together. One, two, three. One more time. That's all right. One, two, three. I'm going to keep going until we're loud. If. Listen, that is the testing of the call. And it comes in the form of this word, if. It's the fork in the road. It's the choice that each one of us must make. You see, there's a decision that must be made in the life of every individual Christian. See, Pastor James can't make that decision for you. As much as I'd like to, I can't make that decision for you. It's a decision that you have to make. You see, the decision is not for tomorrow, as we saw. It's for today. It's for the very moment that we sit here in the sanctuary. And so now, class, here comes the test. It's the word if. Without going back to the book of Hebrews, reviewing all of the history of the nation of Israel who delivered them out of Egypt, we come to understand that the children of Israel had a lot of many if moments to hear His voice. Suffice to say this, the Word of God warns us not to be hardened against the deceitfulness of sin. You see, the people of God, according to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 9, they saw God's work, listen carefully, for 40 years they saw God's hand upon them. They saw God's work right ever present before them. You remember how it is that God guided them and directed them and His presence would travel with them. And they saw this for 40 years. They gazed upon the works of God in their lives, and yet in the valley of decision, in the time of the if, they would not hear the Lord. You see, the Bible says this, that they were missing something very key. And we're going to emphasize this in the new year. It is the key of faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says this, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." You say, why, Pastor James? Why didn't the word profit them? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us, the penman says, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, faith is nothing mystical. It's this matter of belief. It's this matter of trust. It's this matter of confidence in God, and it was absent. What is going to make the difference for you at this very moment, discerning God and His Word? I'll tell you what, it's this matter of trust. It's this matter of faith. I'm reminded, by way of an example of a scene I've seen play out many times, and really we've also, my wife and I have experienced ourselves. We don't have children, but we've had the great pleasure of borrowing people's children over and over again, and we're grateful for that. But there is a father, when he's teaching a child to trust him, he'll be standing in the pool, and the child, you know it, will be standing at the edge of the pool, just out of the water. And oftentimes it is that the dad will ask the child, come jump into my arms, leap into my arms, leap into the water, I'll get you. And you know as well as I do that most children, although we've known a few that aren't this way, most children are a little bit hesitant about doing that. Some of them are scared of water. And you understand this, that the father, when he's teaching the child to trust him, will ask them to jump off the edge of the pool into his arms. And the child, though hesitant at first, finally has enough confidence in his father. And at the bidding, you know what happens, takes that joyous leap and safely lands in the father's arms. You know it is that the child has to hear the voice of the dad ever so calling, ever so beckoning, recounting all of his father's care for him in times past. The child makes up in his mind, oh, my dad's always taking care of me. And he gets to the place of courage and makes that jump, and off he goes and leaps into the father's arms. My fellow Christian, do you hear and see the illustration? Do you understand that it is that God is calling to you and I? Our Heavenly Father says today, if you'll just hear my voice, He's calling the sons and daughters of Christ, jump into my arms off the edge, I'll catch you. My friend, could I ask you, what good is hearing the Word of God without belief? What good is it? What good is belief without a changed life? You see, faith does come by hearing, and hearing, we must receive the word of the Lord. The testing of this call tonight, and it's a question for every child of God, is simply this. Will you choose to hear Him? Will you trust Him? Not only do we see the timing and the testing, but third, I want you to notice this, the totality of this call. The totality. That's T-O-T-A-L-I-T-Y. Totality of His call. Who is this call to exactly? Well, we could say this. You say, Pastor James, I know the writer of Hebrews is writing to those Jewish Christians, and you'd be right to say that. The Hebrew Christians dealt with a difficulty peculiar to their national heritage. There's no doubt about it. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be a Hebrew Christian in the very first century. But when we look at the life of Paul, we see what kind of difficulty they no doubt faced. As we study and read the book of Hebrews, we begin to understand, at least to a point, the wrestlings they must have felt being torn from those things of the Old Testament, thinking they're transgressing that, moving into faith in Christ through God's grace. You can understand culturally the things that they dealt with. But nevertheless, I can equally say this, that a Christian in the first century doesn't know what it's like to be an American Christian in the 21st century, wouldn't you agree? The writer of the book of Hebrews, no doubt, had the Hebrew Christian in mind, but that doesn't mean that this letter has no application for you and I. Yes, we are far removed from that time and from that culture, but our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Word applies to you and I today. You see, all men are created in the image of God, and we all have entered into God's family through the doorway of faith by God's marvelous grace. Regardless of whether I'm a Christian in the first century or a Christian in the 21st century, we all have a common bond. You know what it is? Jesus. Galatians 3:28 tells us there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. It goes on further. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision in Colossians 3:11. Neither barbarian, Scythian, neither bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The Bible says further that there's no temptation but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so, as being part of the faith, household of faith in Jesus Christ, we too are admonished with this call today, if you will hear his voice. The call for you and I is to live a life of faith. As a Christian, we enter into the family of God through the doorway of faith, and we continue to live a life of faith. You know what it is? Here's the secret. It's a life of conversing with the Lord. It's a life that calls upon us to stop and to spend our time with him. You'll notice in the passage that the plural form of the word you is used. It's the word ye in the King James Bible. That's the plural form of the word you. Instead of me pointing at you, I'm saying ye. In other words, you guys, or all of you, or in the South, y'all, we might say. We're talking about everyone here. And so the call is for every Christian to hear him. The Bible says today, if ye will hear his voice. I'm so thankful that the Lord desires to converse with not just me, but he desires to converse with you and you and you and you. Every one of us, the Lord desires to converse with you. This is not a call to the rich and powerful or some select elite group. This is a call for each one of us who are his children. And so we should all be encouraged tonight to understand that this call is for you. This invitation is for you to hear his voice. Lastly, we find this out, not only the timing of the call, the testing of the call, the totality of this call. Would you note this? The transcendence of this call. And you say, Pastor James, why are you using these hard words to spell? It's spelled T-R-A-N-S-C-E-N-D-E-N-C-E. Transcendence. And don't worry, I'm going to explain what that means. That's a $5 word to make you sound smart, right? Pastor James just gets the dictionary out, that's all. And so when we say the words transcendence, we simply mean this. Something that excels beyond all normal limits. Something that is exceedingly wonderful. And there's a transcendence to this call. It's exceedingly wonderful, meaning this. Think of it. God is calling you into fellowship with himself. God Almighty is saying, listen to me, hear my voice, and I would promise you that's marvelous beyond description. You say, who am I? Well, the psalmist said the same thing in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Psalm 144, Lord, what is man that thou even takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest an account of him? And Job said it this way, what is man that thou should magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? You see, all of these understood, these penmen in the Bible, they understood the fact that God even thinks upon me, the fact that God wants to speak to me, the fact that God takes account of me. Oh, that's exceedingly wonderful. Can you imagine it? The God of the universe is wanting to deal with little old me. You see, God in his glorious wonder and power, he is the transcendent one. He excels above all else, and he's outside of all, and he stoops down to speak to his created beings. There are many voices and spirits in this world, there's no doubt. But we're to hear his voice. That's the voice we ought to be listening to. In teaching of the spiritual gift of tongues, Paul made this comment in his compelling argument in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. He said, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. And so it is that all people all of the, over this world have a purpose in speaking. My wife challenges me all the time, honey, you need to listen carefully to what people are saying, because they want to make sure that you hear them. I have to concentrate extra hard to to do that. My mind is constantly going. And so I work on that to listen, to hear what people are saying. The two little dear children that we know, one's not so little anymore. Her name is Hazel, little Hazel. Little Juju, her name's Julia. They were at one time uttering their sounds. We have videos attempting to express something. Perhaps you've been there. Y'all will be there pretty soon. Mason trying to express something, making sounds, making some voices. And I have no doubt Mason's going to do the same. Once you understand, of all the voices in the world that we hear, God says you're to hear my voice. He's communicating with a purpose to you today. My friend, there should be a time when you read God's word. And it's no arbitrary thing. You see, God is trying to speak to you. The Bible says in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. The Lord is speaking to us today through his word. The Lord speaks to us through his indwelling presence. And the call for each one of us individually is simply this: hear his voice. Know his ways. Let me give you a few ways of application as we close. You might write these down. I'm not sure if they're in your notes or not. Number one, every moment God gives us is a present invitation to hear him. I want you to remember that. Every moment that God gives you is a present invitation to hear him. The Bible describes a time when the things for Christians will be different. There's a time coming in everyone's life where you'll see Christ face to face. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." There's a present struggle that every Christian faces living in a sinful world. Even dealt with a little bit of that today in speaking to family as they deal with grief. There's trouble in this sin-cursed world. In our present state, we wrestle against our flesh, do we not? In our present time, we have an enemy that fights against us every step we try and take to bring honor to the Lord. But this does not mean that we must wait to get to heaven to hear Jesus. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to know his ways. This is the miracle of Christ. It's the hope that's in us, Christ, the hope of glory. You see, our lives can be lived day by day, moment by moment, in fellowship with him. Number two, would you make note of this? Recognize God's working in your life. Recognize it. You know, it's one thing to float through life with your head in the clouds and think that this is just a random string of events happening to you day in and day out. But the Christian worldview, the biblical perspective, is to stand back and understand that Almighty God sits on the throne. And he's intimately involved in your life. God uses life situations and people to teach us and to conform us to the image of his dear Son. Do you recognize God's work in your life? That's a question. Are you seeing all that goes on in your life with biblical understanding? Friends, we don't believe in fate. You need to eject that right out of your thinking. We don't believe in fate. We don't believe in chance. Our outlook on life is biblical, and we understand that the hand of our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, is working in our lives. How do we know this? Well, the Bible tells us, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's Jesus, which has begun a good work in you, will do what? He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we forget this, then life becomes meaningless. It appears to be meaningless. It appears to be arbitrary and wasteful, but it certainly is not when we know Jesus. Number three, endeavor to hear him. Endeavor to hear him. This means this, just as I just said, that you're what? Listening. This also means, church family, not just that you're listening. See, you might be hearing the sounds of my words right now, but are you willing? You come into the church house and say yes to the Lord? Are you willing-hearted? Or are you saying, I don't know about this preacher. I don't know what he has to say. I don't know. I'm on the fence about what he has to say, and that's fine. You can be on the fence about what I have to say. Just don't be on the fence about the Word of God. And so endeavor to hear Him. Are you willing? I don't think it's a bad idea for all of us to pray, Lord, I need to know You and to hear Your voice. Oftentimes we'll pray for wisdom, understanding particularly of His Word. But I think we should equally pray to hear His voice amongst all the obstacles of life and the lesser voices that we'll hear in this world. I believe one of the biggest lessons we find is in the life of Elijah when God spoke to him in a still, small voice. But rather, is God speaking? Are you listening? Are you hearing Him? Number four, lastly, know Him in His ways. Know Him in His ways. Somebody told me recently, I'm surprised at all the knowledge you have of the Bible. Listen, I'd throw all that out the window in a moment if I did not know God. You can take all the knowledge you want, but know Him in His ways. Oh, friend, it's worth all the gold. It's worth all the silver. It's worth all the money in all the world. You couldn't put a price on it, this fellowship that we have with God Almighty. Reading our Bibles and spending time in prayer is not a chore to be done. It is a privileged invitation to know our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reminded of the biblical example of this desire to know Him in the life of Peter, we might say this, Peter wore his emotions on his sleeves, wouldn't you agree? Yeah, Peter was impulsive. He acted without completely thinking everything through. But you can count on this with Peter, he was about as transparent as they get. In John 21, verse 7, we find these words, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. They're standing on the shore. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, you know what he did? He girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he's naked, and he cast himself into the sea. I wonder, can you see Peter in his eagerness to see the Savior? You see how much he desired to be with his Lord? He was willing to cast himself into the sea. Friend, are you willing to jump into the sea? Are you willing to take the leap? When he realized who it was on the shore after the Lord's resurrection, it was Peter, not John, who dove into the water to swim to the shore. See, Peter was zealous for the Savior's company. You and I ought to endeavor to know Him in His way, shouldn't we? We ought to make a renewed effort this night. The question I have for you as we close, will you desire to hear His voice? Today, will you hear His voice? Today. We've all seen tonight the timing of the call, the testing of the call, the if, the totality of the call, it's to all of us, and then the transcendence of this call, it's Almighty God speaking to us. Will you hear His voice? Will you realize and rejoice that every moment that God gives you is a present invitation to meet with Him? Number two, would you recognize God's working in your life? Thirdly, would you endeavor to hear Him? Will you endeavor in the new year to hear Him? Will you endeavor tonight to hear Him? And then lastly, will you know Him and His ways? You see, this necessarily implies obedience to Him, to know Him and His ways. Let's pray.